We've spent this last month and a half exploring the topic of prayer, and I sure hope it's been as helpful for you as it has been for me. And it's been helpful for me because it's reminded me that prayer is one of those spiritual practices that can always use a little tune-up. We think we're doing okay, but tuning it up just kind of helps. And I say that because I'd have to admit that since my decision to follow Christ years ago, there's been sort of an ebb and flow in my experience with prayer. I wish I could say that it's kind of been a continuous growth curve, but I'd have to admit that while there have been plenty of highs, there's also been a few lows, there have been a few downtimes in the area of prayer. And times, for whatever reason, and I'm not sure exactly, but I kind of lost that strong connection that I had with God, and then often just tried to attempt to do life on my own. Now, fortunately, that never lasted very long because I found that a life connected with God in prayer just goes better. And so I usually end up getting back there about as quickly as I can. Because I've noticed that when I'm well connected with God in prayer, I experience more peace and less anxiety. I experience more assurance and a lot less confusion. I experience more fulfillment and less frustration in my life. Plus, I get to see God do some amazing things in answer to prayer in my life. Now, I think it's kind of interesting that even people who aren't that serious about their faith in God often find themselves even drawn to prayer in a time of crisis or of great need. You know, hence that old adage, there are no atheists in a foxhole. And because of that, I just think that, you know, prayer could actually be considered maybe just a natural human instinct. Wonder where that might have actually come from. Well, you know, there's so much more than we can learn about prayer in just the series that we've taken time to. And so just wanted to point out on the back of your sermon notes today, there's a list of some more resources, starting, of course, with the Bible. That's probably the best place. But a number of great books and authors who have researched prayer and written about it. And I'd encourage you, if you want to continue learning about prayer, check out one of those books and read one. And you'll, again, continue just to go a little bit deeper in your prayer life. Well, today, as we bring this series to a close, I'd like to make sure that I've clarified the significance and the importance of prayer in the faith walk of every Christ follower. And we're going to address the issue today, does prayer change anything? And what do you think? Does prayer change anything? Well, I came across a very interesting story about a small town down in Texas where construction on a new building was beginning so that a local bar could expand its business. Well, that's when a local church decided to start a campaign and try to block the bar from opening. And so they passed around some petitions, but mostly they offered prayers aimed at keeping it from happening. Well, despite all their best efforts, work on the new building proceeded and progressed right up until the week before the grand opening. And that's when lightning struck the bar and burned it to the ground. Well, as you might imagine, the church folks were rather pleased by their efforts. They were pleased until the new bar owner decided to take the church to court and sue them on the grounds that the church was responsible for the destruction of his bar, either directly or indirectly, because of their prayers. Well, suddenly faced with a lawsuit, the church, in response to this legal action, began to vehemently deny any and all responsibility or blame for what happened. And so as the case made its way through court, after looking over the paperwork, the judge at the hearing appeared to be a little amused by some of the irony of the situation. And he actually said, you know, I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to decide this case. It appears we have a bar owner who's absolutely convinced of the power of prayer and a church that's fervently denying it all at the same time. I guess the moral of the story would be careful what you pray for or what you pray about. Well, by this final message on prayer, I would hope that you have come to the conclusion that prayer is not optional, I mean, it's not, should I pray or should I not pray? I mean, prayer is just not optional. Now, having said that, let me just be clear that it's not my desire to burden any of you here today with yet another religious duty, like I'm going to pray out of religious duty. Rather, I'd hope you'd begin to see prayer as really an opportunity to provide some relief from any of the burdens that maybe you've just been trying to carry all by yourself. Now, one of the reasons why we can be assured that prayer is not optional is because prayer permeates the pages of the Bible. Everywhere you look in the Bible, prayer is there. For example, even from the very beginning, back in the book of Genesis, we find that all of the major patriarchs were praying, and they were praying with a sense of familiarity and directness. We see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob all interacting with God through prayer. And then we get to Exodus, and we find in Exodus that prayer was the way that Moses secured Israel's deliverance from slavery when they were in Egypt. And then we get to King David, and King David recorded many of his own prayers in the book of Psalms, which is really a compilation that could easily be considered as God's inspired prayer book. It's one of the reasons why I'd encourage you to read through a number of the Psalms. And then prayer is found frequently throughout the rest of the Old Testament. Well, by the time we arrive in the New Testament, we get to observe the example of Jesus, and we quickly discover that he was someone who is directly connected to the Father and, as such, placed great emphasis and importance on prayer. Jesus spent many hours in prayer, getting up sometimes before sunrise to pray, sometimes spending all night in prayer. He healed a number of individuals through prayer. He taught his disciples to pray. There were even times when he prayed fervently with cries and tears. And even when he faced his greatest crisis, he did that even with prayer. We could probably even say that he died while praying. And that's probably why when we get to the rest of the New Testament, a guy like the Apostle Paul tries to make clear the importance of prayer to some early believers in the city of Colossae, and the book written to them is Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. And here's what Paul said. He said, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. I really appreciate what Tim Keller says in his book about prayer. It's a pretty thick book, but he's got a lot of great things to say. He says, "To fail to pray then is not merely to break some religious rule. It's failure to treat God as God." That's the power of prayer. It's probably the reason why the Old Testament prophet Samuel, when he was getting near the end of his ministry and he was talking to the nation of Israel, notice what he even says in 1 Samuel 12. He says, "But as for me, far be it from me that I would sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you." Does prayer make any difference? I appreciate what John Piper says. Prayer causes things to happen that wouldn't have happened if you didn't pray. Now, why is that? Well, there's a couple of reasons we're going to look at this morning, the first of which is this. Prayer invites God's supernatural intervention into our lives. And that's what it is. It's an invitation. It's not a command. We don't tell God what to do. But in prayer, what we're doing is we're inviting God's supernatural intervention into our lives. And so prayer is an invitation. There are things that God's going to do regardless of whether we pray or not. But we need to recognize there are things that are directly responsible from our prayers. That's why I think in James chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "You do not have because you don't ask God." You're not asking, so you're not receiving. Craig Rochelle has an interesting statement. He says, "Prayer reminds us that we are not in control, and then it keeps us close to the one who is in control." Now, I recognize it can be kind of a scary thing addressing or talking to God. And because we are speaking directly to God in prayer, I think some of us might find that a little bit intimidating. And fortunately for us, God understands that. In fact, he's made provision for us when prayer gets a little bit hard and we don't know what to say right or what to say wrong. And so sometimes we maybe don't pray. Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. It says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us." So God's given us the help of his Holy Spirit. "We do not know what we ought to pray for." Ever felt like that? It says, well, then the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. God's given you a prayer partner in the Holy Spirit, so that when you don't know exactly what to say as you pray, the Holy Spirit prays on your behalf. And so we want to invite God's supernatural intervention. And we get to invite that into our natural world. So we know that we can ask for things like physical healing. And that's probably one of the largest prayer requests that we get the most of when the list is sent out on Mondays. If you put a prayer request on the back of the card, I would imagine the largest percentage of those people are praying for those with physical needs and physical healing. It's probably why in the book of James chapter 5 we find this instruction. It says, is any among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Just a reminder that our church here at Academy, we practice that. And I would say in this last year, a vast majority of our elders' meetings have started with people coming in so that the elders can be able to pray over them. And so prayer can have a powerful impact on our physical world. We also need to recognize that prayer can impact the spiritual realm as well. And so we need to make sure that we're directing prayers in that direction. That's probably why the Apostle Paul in Romans 15, he was telling the people that he wrote there to, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. He knew if he was going to be able to accomplish what he needed to do spiritually, he needed the support of prayers. That's probably why in Ephesians chapter 6, when he gives the list of the spiritual armor that we're to put on, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, he wraps that all up in verse 18, and he says, don't leave out prayer. He says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and praying for all of God's people, the Lord's people, because he knew that was going to be critical if we were going to get spiritual victory that we need. Well, prayer causes things to happen that wouldn't happen if you didn't pray. And that's because prayer literally can change sometimes our circumstances. But I want to remind you today that there's also something else that prayer changes. Not only does it invite God's supernatural intervention, but prayer actually changes you. It can, because prayer also invites us to join God in what he's doing. When we pray, there's oftentimes we're getting an opportunity to partner with God. And when you pray, you need to be aware that God might want to include you in the answer to your prayers. For example, when Jesus gave the model prayer and taught his disciples to pray, when we pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done, we play a part in the answer to that prayer. You see, God doesn't force his kingdom on anyone. God's kingdom on earth happens when anyone here has a heart that is submitted to Christ. And so one of the ways that you are an answer to that prayer is if you are submitting yourself to the lordship of Christ in your life, and you're following the teaching of Matthew 6:33 that says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. That's where you get to be an answer to prayer. And then you are the answer to prayer when you say, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, when you decide to give God preference, his will, preference over your own will. And get ready when you do that for God to do some amazing things. Like the story I heard about Tony Campolo, who used to be a great speaker, author. He tells a story about something that happened to him. He was about to speak at a Christian college. And before he spoke, a group of people gathered around him to lay hands on him and pray over him as he got ready to speak. Well, there was one young theology major that day who prayed a long time, but not about what Tony was doing. That morning, he prayed about a family that he had met earlier in the day. And he was praying because the husband was planning on leaving his family. And in his prayer, he described the trailer, the exact trailer where he had spoken with this family. And he prayed the address and every description of it. Well, Campolo wanted him to kind of get to the point because he was going out to speak. What are you praying about that for? Well, he found out a little bit later, because after speaking, as Campolo was heading home in his car, he just happened to pick up a hitchhiker. And he asked the man his name, and the guy said, well, my name is Charlie Stolsis. Well, that was the name of the man that had been mentioned in prayer that morning. And when Tony heard that, he immediately pulled off the interstate. And when George saw what was happening, he said, hey, where are you going? And Tony said, well, I'm going to take you home. And the guy said, how do you know where I live? And Tony smiled and said, God told me. And then he said, you left your wife this morning, didn't you? And the guy said, how did you know that? Tony smiled again and said, God told me. And Tony was able to drive that man right to his home, went inside, sat down with that family, had the opportunity to share Christ and lead that entire family to Christ. Now, folks, if you think about it, that can be how prayer works. Someone has a burden, they know a need, they pray, someone hears it, their heart is open, and God matches the need with the answer, and a miracle takes place all through prayer. See, there are many people with needs all around us, aren't there? And God might actually want you or me to help a person in need. Now, you might say, well, yeah, there's a lot of needs. I can't help everyone. Truth is, you don't need to help everyone. You might just need to help just that one person. You should do for the one what you wish you could do for everyone. Now, that's probably why we see the admonition in James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. It says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, and you must be aware of that because you say to them, hey, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but you don't do anything about their physical needs. What good is that? And so what I want you to remember is this. In prayer, we might inform God about what we think needs done in the world. And in the process, God might remind us that we have a role in doing it. And so there's going to be many times when you pray that you might have the opportunity to actually partner with God in answer to that prayer. Would you this morning kind of consider some of the prayers that you are praying or have prayed? Are there any actions that God might want you to take in response to those prayers? And folks, that's why prayer can't be optional in our lives. Because prayer moves the hand of God, and it moves ours as well. Now, as we wrap things up this morning, to help us remember everything we've learned so far about prayer, we're going together this morning to memorize an entire verse in the Bible. Before we leave, we've got to all have it memorized, okay? So we're going to have to work together here. And the verse in the Bible that we're going to look at, let me just say, the translation that we're going to use today to memorize this verse is a lot better than when I learned it years ago. In fact, it's a third less. So I'm going easy on you this morning. And the verse we're going to memorize together today is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Are you ready? Here's what we've got to remember. Pray continually. Do you think we can do it? Now, you know what they say? They say repetition is the motor of learning because it helps us memorize stuff. So we're actually going to do a little exercise this morning. We're going to break it in half. You guys, all you have to remember is the word pray. And this half over here, you guys just have to remember the word continually. Okay? And let's see. Let's start to work on this morning. When I point to you, you say, one more time.
Pray.
Okay, I think you both have that first part. Now we're going to switch it over, okay? So this side is going to be prayer now, and this side is going to be continual. I don't want you to just know half of the verse. Go home and say, pray. It was pray something, and it was continually something. So let's start over here. Ready?
Pray. Continually. Pray. Continually. Pray. Continually.
All right, good job. Now you think we can put it all together? I know it's going to stretch some minds, especially mine. You know, my hard drive's getting full, so it's hard to cram stuff in there anymore. Let's see if we can do it one more time, all together, three times. Pray continually, pray continually, pray continually. Now, that is so easy, because back when I learned that years ago, there are actually three words I had to remember. Pray without ceasing. And I like continually a lot better just because if I'm praying without ceasing, I have a hard time doing two things at the same time. So I usually need to stop whatever I was doing if I was going to pray. But when I'm praying continually, I just learn to do it throughout the day. You know, Stephen Curtis Chapman is one of my favorite singers and songwriters. And his music has given words and expression to my faith through some very powerful songs over the years. One of those is a song by the title, Let Us Pray. And here's how it goes. It says, let us pray everywhere in every way. Every moment of the day, it is the right time. For the Father above, he is listening with love, and he wants to answer us. So let us pray. So when we feel the Spirit moving, prompting, prodding, and behooving, there is no time to be losing. Let us pray. And just because we say the word, amen, it doesn't mean the conversation has to end. Let us pray everywhere in every way. Every moment of the day, it is the right time. For the Father above, he is listening with love, and he wants to answer us. So let us pray. So how can we remember to pray continually? Well, before you leave this morning, I want to give you something that I believe, if you will use it, can help you to pray continually. I want to go ahead and dismiss the ushers right now. If they're going to go back, they're going to pass a basket through the rows, and in that basket are going to be four different colors of these wrist bracelets. I've been wearing this one for the last week. I don't usually wear wrist bracelets, but you know what I've noticed? Having that on my wrist has reminded me to do something, which is really, it's the takeaway for today. And the takeaway for today is to pray first. What a great reminder. When we start something, we do something. Go ahead and pass them. Yep, get them going. Right away, it's going to take a long time because I'll have to pick a color. Should I pick purple? Should I pick turquoise? Ladies, if you can take the ladier colored ones, that would be helpful. Just because I don't want to get to tonight's service and all that's left is purple and turquoise and the poor guys that are here. They may like that color too. But so take one of those, and if you would just wear it. What I'd encourage you to do is just wear it. No, you have to wear it forever. Just wear it until you develop the habit of praying first. When you start something, you pray first. You know, they tell you that practice makes perfect. Practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. And so the more you practice it, the better that you're going to be able to get at it. And I just encourage you, keep practicing. So when you find yourself beginning to panic, what should you do? Pray first. And when you encounter a problem in your life, what should you do? Pray first. And when you uncover this possibility that is before you, what should you stop and do? Pray first. And when you're dealing with a difficult person in your life, maybe the person next to you, pray first. Of course, just remember, every moment of every day is the right time to pray. But what could happen in our lives if we just practice that one little thing? How about if we prayed first? I think some amazing things could happen, and we could see God move in our lives in an incredible way as we invite his supernatural intervention, and then we make ourselves available to be answers to some of those prayers. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we are so thankful again for this incredible gift of prayer, the opportunity to speak with you, who are the creator of this universe. You have time to listen to us, to hear our hurts and our needs, for us to be able to unburden ourselves with your grace and with your care. Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who helps us when we don't know what to pray, helps us be able to pray. And I just ask for all of us here today that we would be able to just change in maybe one simple way of praying first. And so use these bracelets, these wristbands, but mostly use your Spirit to prod us, to challenge us, to pray first, because ultimately, God, this world is in your hands. You hold it all. And I pray that there'll be amazing things that we'll get to see as we lean on you in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For more information about Academy Christian Church, look for us on the web at www.academychristian.org.